From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The deadly plane crash yesterday in Ethiopia has focused international attention on a new Boeing plane that's not currently in operation in Alaska. In both the Ethiopian tragedy and a similar incident in Indonesia in October, a recently delivered Boeing 37 MAX 8 aircraft crashed shortly after takeoff. In both cases, all passengers on board died. Experts are continuing to investigate the cause of both crashes. Meanwhile, some countries and airlines have grounded all 737 MAX 8 aircraft. In the United States, the three airlines that fly the planes say they remain in operation. Southwest does not fly to Alaska. Both United and American Airlines do, but they fly different versions of the plane. According to Boeing's website, the MAX 9 and 10 are slightly larger than the MAX 8. All of the models have the same engine. Alaska Airlines does not currently operate any of the MAX planes, but it plans to add several to its fleet this summer. According to Vice President Marilyn Romano, the company expects its first MAX 9 delivery in June. Boeing says the 737 MAX is its fastest-selling plane in company history with nearly 4,700 orders worldwide. The plane has been marketed for its fuel efficiency and reliability. Last week, the federal government lifted the last barrier preventing the importation of genetically engineered salmon. The company that pioneered the technology, Aqua Bounty, plans to ship GE fish eggs from Newfoundland to Indiana, where they will be grown into full-size Atlantic salmon and sold for food. The company's CEO says Alaskans have nothing to fear. She says the fish is no threat to the state's wild salmon fisheries. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Aqua Bounty CEO Sylvia Wolf has only been on the job since January. Before that, she was an executive at a major food distributor called U.S. Foods.
U.S. Foods did a lot of work with the Alaska Marketing Group and with Trident, and I actually have been out on boats. And so I have the utmost respect for the Alaskan seafood industry.
Wolf says her company's product, the Aqua Advantage Salmon, fills a different market niche.
This is not in competition with wild Alaskan salmon. This salmon was designed to grow in a land-based system. It would never be able to, it can't survive in the ocean, so the chances of contamination are zero.
The only place in the U.S. that's allowed to grow Aqua Advantage now is the company's landlocked facility in Indiana. Wolf says growing the fish to marketable size will take about 18 months. She says the method has advantages over the ocean pens that most fish farms use.
Because they're in biosecured tanks, they're not exposed to disease or predators or some of the challenges that exist with net pens in the ocean. And so, you know, antibiotic-free is another opportunity here because, we have biosecured facilities. So I think that there's just a real good sustainability story as we move, to an alternative to net pens.
Americans buy a lot of farmed salmon, more than 300,000 metric tons, and nearly all of it is imported, mostly from Chile and Norway. Wolf says the Indiana plant will produce about 1,200 metric tons, a drop in the bucket. Aqua Bounty's goal is to build facilities to produce about 30,000 metric tons of fish in 5 to 7 years, to get about 10% of the farmed market. As she sees it, the bioengineered fish will compete with imported Atlantic salmon.
Because I think wild Alaskan salmon is always going to be different. It's different species. It's caught out of the ocean. It's seasonal. There's a really good story about that. But it can't support us. It can't support the domestic consumption.
Dana Pearls is a food policy campaigner at Friends of the Earth, and she's not at all convinced Aqua Advantage is safe.
No. The genetically engineered salmon is environmentally risky, could contaminate wild salmon populations, and even in landlocked places, the risks of escape are high.
Pearls says a natural disaster could destroy a fish farm, sending engineered salmon into a river or lake that eventually empties into the ocean. She says someone might even steal the bioengineered fish and release it into the wild. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
While Democratic senators have been most outspoken in their opposition to Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget cuts, it's the Republicans who control the Senate majority. Several Republican senators on the Finance Committee have expressed concerns. That committee has spent the most time on the budget since Dunleavy introduced it last month. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talked with key senators about how they're going to approach the budget. That could have a big impact on everything from what services the state offers to the size of permanent fund dividends.
For the past 3 weeks, the Senate Finance Committee has been reviewing Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget. Republican Click Bishop is on the committee. He lives a block from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and opposes the size of cut Dunleavy has proposed for state university funding.
It is a non-starter for me. I think we all need to take a step back and look at this problem and let data drive the discussion. And I just don't think there was a lot of thought put into this cut.
Bishop says the state should make major changes that will reduce spending, but he says Governor Dunleavy's budget has caused such a negative public reaction that it's been difficult to concentrate on meaningful cuts. For that to happen, Bishop wants more research on the effect of possible cuts. Bishop still hopes lawmakers and the governor can reach an agreement.
You know, I don't think really at the end of the day anybody wants to get down to where it's bare knuckles in the mud barroom fight over this budget.
Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki says the size of Dunleavy's proposals has caused an important conversation, and he says it requires those opposed to the cuts to come up with alternatives. But Michicki says he wants to hear from the people who will have to implement the cuts, mapped out by the governor's Office of Management and Budget.
My impression is that OMB found some big numbers and plugged them into a budget, and now we're hoping that the commissioners can come forward and discuss attainable reductions while still delivering the services that they're required by the little blue book, the Constitution, to deliver. And what we're seeing is a clear disconnect between those that are required to deliver the services and those that produce the budget.
Michicki says it's going to take compromise, both on the part of the 60 legislators and the governor.
What that means is we have to work together. And that means that it doesn't get to be exactly the way I want it to be. And I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to go home and take my toys with me when it doesn't work out. Politics is the art of what's possible.
Helping to steer the budget to a resolution will be Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. He's back as finance co-chairman after a six-year break, and he's facing a possible reduction that cuts at the heart of his coastal district, the end of funding for the Alaska Marine Highway System, on October 1st.
I thought we'd have a substantial reduction, but not a potential termination, so that was a surprise. But the overall direction was not. The magnitude, a little bit, more than I anticipated.
Stedman says he's hoping for a compromise that will include funding to keep the ferries running. He says the budget process isn't about reaching a spending level without regard to the needs of Alaskans. He expects that throughout the budget process, legislators will communicate with the governor. He says Dunleavy proposed a budget that will stop spending state savings.
I agree with that premise, and I want to work with them to make sure that we fix the fiscal situation and protect the permanent fund and keep the Marine Highway running at the same time. So it's going to be quite the juggling act.
Stedman says this year will be the first step in a 2 or 3 year reduction to the budget.
We need to fix our problem. The generation today needs to fix today's generation's little budget problems and not pass it on to the future.
The House is aiming to pass its version of the budget over to the Senate by early April. It's not clear if the upper chamber will be done with its budget work by the scheduled end of the session on April 14th. Under the state constitution, the regular session can last as long as May 15th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The National Weather Service is calling for widespread snow and rain showers today and tonight with little or no snow accumulation. Highs in the upper 30s, lows in the lower 30s. The snow level is around 500 feet. Rain and snow showers are expected to continue through tomorrow, again with little or no accumulation. The snow level will go up to 900 feet in the afternoon with highs around 40 degrees, lows above freezing. Precipitation will let up on Wednesday, which is expected to be cloudy with only a chance of rain and snow during the day, but returning overnight.